Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Still to come in the next hour, the Brennan brothers on why they're selling the Park Hotel in Kenmare, the intrigue around missing and stolen art, art historian Jessica Fahey will be here, and what will the next generation batteries be capable of doing? Physicist Dr. Shane Bergen has been finding out. That's all on the way. But now I'm joined in the studio by Adam Maguire, RTE business journalist. Good morning, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Now, recently you look back over our grocery staples. The bad news is that a lot of those everyday items like pasta and cooking oil, they continue to go up. Today, though, you're looking at the cost of toiletries, how things like the shampoo, the soap, the body lotion, they're rising in price, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it's something, understandably, we might not pay too much attention to because we're very focused on the food and drink and the day-to-day items. But all in the while, quietly in the background, the price of everything from hygiene products to cosmetics has risen, and quite significantly as well. According to the most recent data from the Central Statistics Office, which brings us up to April, hygiene products were 15% more expensive year on year. So a huge jump. And to put it in the context, the overall rate of inflation in April was 7.2%. So that's a more than double jump on hygiene products compared to the average. Hair products were up 10.3% in the year. A big jump in that category. The reason why I shaved my head, because you know the cost of hair products was just
one way to deal
was just
with
getting
it.
too high. Cosmetic and skincare products were up 8.3%. So not as significant an increase, but as anyone who buys those kind of products will know, they're usually quite expensive to begin with. So an 8.3% increase on a high price is actually quite a significant jump. Meanwhile, toilet accessories, that'd be everything from toilet rolls, baby wipes, tampons, cotton wool, all of those have seen increases of about 8.3% in the past year as well.
Toothpaste is where I see it. Sometimes you see the toothpaste and you nearly fall into the trolley, it's so expensive. But they always have a deal, don't they, on these
things?
Yeah,
usually you have something on a special offer. But yeah, the full price of toothpaste, yeah, seems to have almost doubled in the past year.
So what's going on? Are they becoming more, are they more expensive to make now, or what's happening?
That's definitely a factor. You know, when we did the shopping basket last year, we spoke about toilet roll and how there's been a surge in the demand for paper pulp because of the likes of the rise of online shopping. And that had a knock-on effect on the cost of toilet roll. It has the same knock-on effect on any paper-based products, so the likes of wipes, cotton wool, baby wipes and so on. Last year, we spoke as well about the price of edible oils and how disruption to sunflower oil coming from Ukraine and Russia forced food companies to find alternatives, which pushed up the price of olive oil, vegetable oil and so on. And as people will know, oil is a common ingredient in a lot of toiletries and cosmetics. There's actually a whole category of cosmetic oils or carrier oils, which are the oils that are used in these kinds of products. And in some cases, they're actually a selling point. You know, you think of products that talk about having argan oil in them or almond oil or something like that. So when the price of oils in general went up, it meant that it was more expensive to use them then in cosmetics and personal care goods as well.
So what we're seeing then are the same factors at play that we had when we were talking about food price increases.
Yes, we are. But there's also other forces at play that relate to the ingredients, but they aren't necessarily about the rising cost of them. So I spoke as well a few weeks ago about how food companies are being encouraged to reformulate products to make them less unhealthy than they are at the moment. A lot of hygiene and cosmetic companies are also reformulating their products, not necessarily on health grounds, but on sustainability grounds. And a lot of that is coming because of consumer pressure around certain ingredients. And I think palm oil is a really good example of that, because a couple of years ago, it seemed ubiquitous. Everything had palm oil. It was actually a bit of a selling point that, you know, a product contained palm oil. But then we started hearing about how the demand for palm oil was leading to deforestation in many parts of the world. It was having an impact on ecosystems and certain animals were suffering as a result of that. And so suddenly consumers wanted change. Companies had to then find an alternative to palm oil for all their products. But a part of the reason why they chose it is because it was relatively cheap, abundantly available. So when they go and try and reformulate and swap it out for something else, it gets a bit more expensive as well. And we've seen that happen time and again with these kind of products. There was outrage a few years ago about microbeads in exfoliating soaps. There's currently a move in Europe to ban a triclosan, which is used in everything from shampoos to toothpastes, because it has an impact on marine life. So these companies are constantly having to rework the ingredients in their products to make them more sustainable, or because of a ban or because of consumer pressure.
But they take advantage of that too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, being sustainable is very in demand right now, and brands know people will pay a premium in order to have a product that makes them feel good about themselves from an environmental point of view. So we're seeing a big push around goods that are vegan friendly, sustainably sourced, fully biodegradable. The packaging has to be sustainable and biodegradable too. And that does add to the cost of the products to do that, but probably not as much as they're pushing up the price at the till. I saw a figure saying that in cosmetics, the ingredients are believed to represent just 15% of the cost of the product. So there's a huge margin on top of the actual manufacturing cost that's then being charged at the customer as well.
Wait now, we've got to reverse on that. The ingredients represent 15% of the total cost.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that compare then with other things that we buy?
Well, I mean, depending on, say, certain types of food, there would be a very small margin, especially the likes of, you know, fruit and veg. And, you know, we hear about meat as well, for example, that can have quite a slim margin. So to have a 85% margin compared to the
money.
Now, obviously, there are other costs involved.
Well, we know what one of the big ones is. It's the selling of it and the marketing of it and all of the ads you see around these products.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge, a huge, huge part of that. If you look at the most recent financial results from L'Oreal, for example, that'd be one of the big beauty brands in the world. They had sales last year of 38.2 billion. So that's the amount of cash that they took in, essentially. But it spent more than 12 billion on advertising and promotion in 1 year. So that's nearly a third of the money they took in went out on advertising and promotion and on marketing around the world. And you know, their ads will talk about their new formulations and discoveries. They spent 1.1 billion euro on research innovation. That's a big amount of money, but it's less than 10% of what they spend talking about research and innovation.
So when you see your favourite actress or your favourite influencer promoting one of these brands, just know that you're paying for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's examples. Charlize Theron reportedly made $55 million over 11 years with her deal with Dior. Julia Roberts made something similar from a deal with Lancome. The Kardashians obviously make huge amounts of money from these kinds of deals. All of that has to be paid for. And just to mention as well that figure, the 12 billion on advertising and promotion, it doesn't include the actual physical selling. So, you know, sending out sales reps and actually shipping the goods to shops and all that kind of thing. That's a different category. So this is purely about the advertising and the cost of advertising. So they're spending a third of the money they take in, you know, to promote their products for next year.
Extraordinary. So now we're talking as well, or focusing really today on why the prices have increased so much, because they would always have been spending a lot on marketing.
Yeah.
Did the pandemic and the post-pandemic period impact the prices?
It did, because it had a really interesting impact on supply and demand on these kinds of products. Because in the early stages of the pandemic, demand for certain cosmetic and beauty products plummeted. Not necessarily soap and shampoo. You'd hope people were still using that about as much as they had been before. But the likes of perfume and makeup took a hit because people weren't going out anywhere. They didn't feel the need to, you know, necessarily get dressed up in quite the same way as they might have done before. And depending on the figures you look at, perfume sales fell by anywhere between 9 and 18% in 2020. The beauty industry saw revenues fall by between 20 and 30% in the same year. It should be said, though, certain products took a bigger hit than others.
Lipstick
as the perfect example. People were wearing masks, so even if you were going out, you didn't necessarily need to put lipstick on. And sales of lipstick as a result, there was somewhere, some brands saw a 40% fall in 2020. But on the other end of the spectrum, hair dye actually boomed because people couldn't get to the hairdresser.
Yeah.
So this was the way to make sure they kept the hair colour that they wanted. But as you know, things came back to normal and as, you know, economies reopened, those kind of products did bounce back in the last year to 18 months. Because, you know, people's social lives have resumed, travel has resumed, and the requirements around the likes of mask wearing has obviously eased as well. So suddenly people had to then go and stock up on the products that they weren't buying for a year, 2 years maybe. And so we've seen a surge in demand. And when demand surges, a supply maybe squeezes a bit and it gives them a good reason to start pushing up the price.
It matters, though, where you buy these products, Adam, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And you know, there are some products that you can only get in certain shops, but there are others that you could get in a, you know, your normal, you know, grocery shop or pharmacy, and you could also get it in a high-end shop. And if you think about the difference in how they're presented, you know, the high-end shop, it's usually very spacious, nicely lit, furnished. You might even have beauticians there giving advice or maybe, you know, applying the makeup or whatever it might be, compared to a pharmacy or a supermarket where it's just on a shelf and it's just kind of stuck there and, you know, it's kind of piled high. And the cost of providing those two different services is very different. And so is the customer they're targeting, even if the product itself is the exact same. You know, a pharmacy isn't spending a lot of money on a cheap shelving unit. It doesn't have expertise there, so it doesn't have to charge as much. The high-end shop does, but they know they can get away with charging you more because if you're going to that shop, you're probably seeking out that product because of its reputation or because you believe this product is better than everything else. And so when you see a 5 or 10% price increase, you're maybe more willing to pay it rather than switch to a different product.
Well, we were saying at the beginning that we mightn't notice these price increases too much because it's not part of our everyday purchase. And that's how you can manage it as well, because they are on special offer. If you probably don't need to buy shampoo every week or deodorant every week, so you just wait till you see it on a good deal.
Yeah, or else, you know, it's a kind of thing, say with makeup, for example, that you wouldn't be buying very regularly at all. So when you go in and it's suddenly, and you might not even remember exactly what the price was last time you bought it, because it could have been months ago or maybe even a year or more ago. So you kind of say, oh, okay, but I'm going to get a year's use out of this or 6 months use, whatever it might be. So people are, and again, if it's something you a brand that, or product that you like and that you feel, oh, well, this is good, it'll be worth it anyway, rather than me having to go now and find an alternative. It's not like in a supermarket where the toothpaste, for example, maybe, you know, the brand you normally use is a bit too expensive, so you go with the one that's on special offer.
Yeah.
If it's a product that you use and you like, you're not going to go shopping around for necessarily when it comes to the likes of makeup or perfume or something like that. You'll say, oh, look, I'll pay the extra.
I think with toothpaste, when it's €7 or €7.50, that's what I saw the other day. I think you've got to put your brand loyalty to one side.
Absolutely, yeah. They're probably all made, most of them are made by the same company.
Same people,
anyway,
yeah. So, yeah. I'm very envious of you now and the lack of hair. That's a big saving.
Represents look, I can give you some head shaving tips.
Big saving, Adam. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.